Well, Mervyn, I know after what, 10, 11 weeks, the countdown is definitely on to Saturday's final, what, only just a week out. Tell me, 10, 11 weeks, a long break between your game, between the Ulster final and the All-Ireland semi-final, something that had to be managed, I'm sure?
Yeah, it sure did, Tom. We had a wee think about it afterwards, also, but the boys did talk about this, how are we going to manage this lull, you know, or basically this long spell of being off without getting games and stuff like that, or else a proper competitive game. But look, we took a 2 week break everybody, we just decided that everybody would just take a total 2 week break from gym, from training, from everything else, and I think by the end of the 2 weeks everybody was kind of eager to get back again. They were missing the routine, so look, between that and just keeping the bodies right, keeping the mindset right over the 10 weeks was tough going now. But yeah, look, we kind of left a lot of it to Michael Boyle there to keep them boys physically right, like, you know.
Yeah, and of course that was covering the Christmas period as well, which can be a festive time.
Yeah, it can. Yeah, and look, we kind of designated 4 or 5 days to the lads that we said, look, you know, you can, you know, limit your nights out to 4 or 5, which was fair enough, and they all did that. They all stuck to the rules to a certain degree, and I think you know they're a well disciplined bunch of lads. They've all been kind of involved with Kearney squad, so I don't think it's anything out of the ordinary for them as such. Anyway,
you were lucky in a sense over the Christmas period. The students and boys at college would be home rather than away in Galway or Dublin or Belfast or whatever.
Yeah, most of these lads are in Dublin now, Tom. Neil Friel, I think, is back in Galway tomorrow night. But he'll be grand. Like, he's been about all Christmas. A lot of the Dublin lads didn't go back to college till maybe the third week in January. So it was great to have everybody about. And I mean, that is the makings of a good team when you have the bodies at home and you can get good sessions done. But look, well, they've been able to. Everybody has their own programs. Everybody knows what they're doing. They do what they have to do in Dublin as well. They get out and do their best every Tuesday and Thursday, do their gym work. So I don't think it's been a major issue.
Yeah. And of course, then unfortunately, we had that tragic death of one of your players, not a member of the team, but a member of the club, Micheál Rorty. And obviously, that cast a dark shadow.
Yeah, well, I suppose, look, Micheál was a member of our team, and he had played some league games and stuff like that. I suppose when championship came around, the squad was kind of cut a wee bit, and like Micheál obviously didn't make the cut and things like that. It wasn't that we cut him off the squad. It just Micheál had other interests at the same time, and it was a major loss. Looking again, a hard square to the family, and you know, I suppose as a club and as a team, we done everything we could to make it as comfortable for them. We helped out as much as we could on the day and leading up, you know, to the funeral and things like that. But it was a major blow to the lads, and you know, you could see the effect on the team, and we weren't sure how to handle it. And I called a bit of a meeting with a couple of the older lads, and you know, we sat down, and Neil McGee and Cass and a few of them, and I said, look, lads, I don't want to make these decisions on my own, because you're afraid to, because it's a sensitive, you know, what these lads. So we decided then we're going to go back training Thursday night, and that's what we done. And you know, we put it to bed that night. We said, look, we know this isn't going to be in the back of our minds. We're not going to keep bringing it up. And you know, he's always going to be there, and he'll be with us hopefully in the dressing room on the day when we go to play Carfin.
Yeah, and that was of course the evening of, the evening after the funeral as well. So obviously, it was still very raw at the time when you got together that evening.
Yeah, it sure was. And I think the only two lads that we give a bye to was Oren McGillis, one of his best friends, and Eamon Collum, that would be one of his neighbours. And we told the two lads to take the night off, but everybody else got back, you know. And I suppose the lads were friends with that Harley lad as well from Clonie.
John Harley, yeah.
John Harley, and again, I would have known John Harley myself through work, and you know, seen him out. And so, look, the both clubs, and again, our hearts go out to the two sets or the four sets of parents for that reason. Like, you know, it was a massive blow to the whole both communities.
Tell me, Carlofin, the reigning champions, a team that have been there before, they know how to manage, for example, the 11, 12-week break. They've been down that road. Obviously, a huge challenge.
Massive challenge for us. And I just looked at some of their stats there, you know, and during the week. I mean, that 82% strike rate against Ballintubber in the second half. And, like, most club teams will go out, like, even on our own stats there, you'd be looking somewhere between, you know, 65, 70, if you could, and that'd be an ask. But 82% was a savage stat, and I think the scores came from 10 different players, you know, and that's a massive spread of players. So how you handle that is just going to be something totally unique to us as a team. Like, you know, and you as I said last night, I think it's you can pick up, you know, possibly three or four players as a man marking role, but outside of that, you're kind of hoping to just, you know, tag them as they're coming through or whatever. But look, it's a massive mountain for us to climb to try and beat this Carlofin team, you know.
Having said that, you know, coming through Ulster and, you know, beating the likes of Cross Midland and Scotstown seasoned teams as well, obviously gives you heart and confidence.
Yeah, it does, but I think the Cross McGlenn game, they looked like a team that was in transition, and, you know, it was spoke about coming up to that, and we could probably sense that on the way into that Cross McGlenn game. Scotstown, yeah, we thought Scotstown got their tactical side of things 110%. Like, we really did struggle with Scotstown. They had us well pinned down, and then they had us, you know, tactically, as I said, they had us figured out to a T. But look, we overcome that, and I think that was one of the days that you realised that this team, our team, was able to dig deep when they needed to, and really pulled it out of the bag.
Tell me, as I said, you've watched Carlofin, you've watched their county final, or their county final again, their game against Montbello, and obviously you watched the game against Ballintubber in the Connacht final.
Yeah.
Were you going to have to adjust your game, or are you still going to stick with your own game style and pattern of play?
Yeah, well, look, as I said, we'd be looking more at their style of play now and what they're going to bring. I think both teams kind of play very similarly anyway. Like, you know, both teams are kind of two attacking teams, which, again, it'll end up being a good open affair by the looks of things. It doesn't seem to be anything too tactical at all now, Tom. It seems to be just everybody's, both teams are going to go at each other, and who's going to be better at the end of the day. But again, their experience of being there is going to be that'll give them that edge on us, and it's just that wee thing that people don't realise, and unless you're there before, it's hard to explain. This game is just massive for us.
Christopher Sweeney, we're a couple of days out from an All-Ireland club semi-final. You couldn't have fathomed this when Guidoor got together at the start of the year?
Absolutely not, no. I mean, as I said earlier in the year, it was our main goal was kind of winning a county championship, you know, and anything after that is a bonus. But you know, as the games continued to come along, and the more we kind of were winning, the confidence got higher and higher, and we've won that county championship for the first time in 12 years, and that was a massive hurdle off our backs. So then, like, you know, it was kind of pressure off, and we just took one game at a time, and we were in Ulster then, and, you know, we just kind of built a momentum. The games came nicely 2 weeks after one another, and before you knew it, you were competing in an Ulster final. And we knew teams were there before, and we just kind of, luckily enough, things fell our way on the day, and lads showed great steel, and a massive effort was put in on the day, and it was a great game to be part of, a game that we'll never forget, you know. So we're here now. We're going to be up against them massively, against the reigning All-Ireland champions of Carlofin. When you look at the team they have and the amount of county players and experienced players that they have, you know, rightly so, they're red-hot favourites. And it's new territory for us, really, you know. And look, we will be as well equipped on the day, and hopefully it'll be good enough to overcome their challenge.
Probably goes against the natural grain of things, because usually it's young lads looking up at senior lads coming into a level. But because things have been so disjointed at senior level and Guido for so long, yous were actually looking their direction and were a wee bit envious of what they were bringing to the table. And it's strange how it's all ended up that they've come in, they've galvanised the thing, and it's nice, isn't it?
Well, that's it. Like the way I was saying to somebody earlier, like it's the way it is it's their team, and it's us older lads now that are just kind of filling a few slots. You know,
along for the run.
Looking along for the run, yeah. But it's been a good run, like, and hopefully it's not over yet, you know. But no, I mean, just the way they've come in, and, you know, as I said, that's what we needed, that, you know, we needed players like that, and that they're all winners. They don't know how to lose. They know how to grind out results and time.
It's scary when you look at what they've actually won and what they've accumulated so far together, the whole way from under 12 up. I mean, the mantelpieces at home are already so well decorated, as you say, county underage titles. I mean, those lads have had such a good time together already that, as you say, they've probably come in at just the right time when some of those guys maybe, you know, are at the very end of things. But again, those guys that we're talking about are still so crucial. And you at number one, looking out the field, the likes of the Kevin Cassies, the two McGee brothers, and even Owen Maneil, who's still, you know, a young lad, but huge experience there, and that counts for so much.
Absolutely, like, it's just the gel of, you know, the older lads and the younger lads, it's just gelled very well, you know. And it's, you know, I mean, no lads kind of, every lad's looking forward to training every night, you know. As again, yes, you have a bit of camaraderie, but we know when to turn on our game face, and that includes training as well, you know. And It's just a nice blend to have. And again, like, we're just the kind of older lads that are slotting into their team, because that's the future. And, you know, any advice that we can give them, we give them to them now, and vice versa. We they'll tell us if we're kind of stepping out of place or doing things wrong or whatever it is, and we take that on board. So we have that kind of nice understanding and a good blend there, you know.